The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Here we go.
All right, we got a winner.
Here we go. Yeah.
Huh? Winner.
Huh?
We got a t-shirt winner.
Hey, winner. Oh. Hey, lucky you.
All right. You know something I've noticed?
Who's the lucky person?
Our reviews have been going down slowly but surely.
You son of a...
So we had four reviews this last week.
That's pretty weak sauce.
Who doesn't want a free t-shirt?
I don't know what's going on here.
Well, in the defense of our listeners, guys, we are approaching Christmas right now. It is the holidays. Most people are stressed out right now.
Guess what you're going to be on? On the computer.
Shopping.
And you're going to be shopping in Amazon. Maybe, why don't you write a review?
Write a review, give it a shirt, and you can give it as a gift, actually.
Oh, so smart.
Right? Who doesn't want a shirt Adam rubbed his balls all over? That's what you're going to get. That is worth a lot of money.
We're giving that one free that we're auctioning.
They don't want that.
We're giving that away free, huh?
The ball shirt.
So let me announce the winner.
Maybe it's clean, though.
Right, tell us who the winner is.
Enough ball stuff.
Right.
FGHJJFDD is our winner this week.
Winner, contact us at?
MindPumpRadio@gmail.com. Give me your name, your iTunes name, your address, and your shirt size. And then for the rest of you...
And make a picture.
Make sure you start putting up your reviews, because if this next week we have over four reviews, I will give out more than one shirt.
Oh.
Whoa, Doug, since we only had one, can you read it? Can we hear it?
I can.
Oh, if you don't, I thought you had it right in front of you.
I don't have it up right here.
Oh, no. Sorry, that was a dick move.
Everybody can go to iTunes and read it themselves.
Right.
Yeah. So, next week, though, we will not be recording, so we're going to announce it at Mind Pump on Instagram. So
look there also.
Yeah, look there.
Because Sal's going to take a day off.
Oh. Pussy. Yeah.
I just queefed.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I feel like you guys aren't very festive, man.
What do you mean?
Yeah, just
what do you mean by festive?
Not very Christmassy talk, you know. You guys are wearing all black and gray. You know what's funny, though?
What is funny?
Not to switch after I was just talking shit. Yeah. My girl was telling me that, you know, the most popular colors right now for Christmas is black and gold.
Wow.
Did you know that black
49ers!
No, that's red and gold.
Bro, it's like fuck! Saints,
fuck!
Dude.
Fuck!
Don't ever try and be athletic.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny?
That was just an attempt at being athletic right there.
You know what? I swear to God, I thought I had that.
Oh, I know you did. You should have seen the confident look.
He was like, yes!
You almost even started the statement with, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen,
damn.
The 49ers are black and gold.
Damn it. I mean, it's the only time I'm wrong when I talk about sports.
I like your effort.
I do. They do have some black jerseys this year.
I don't like you guys. Stop making fun of the fucking nerd. You guys, this is not high school. Okay, we're adults now. You can't do that anymore. Fuck.
Oh, my God.
I'm not doing your homework for you.
Fine. Did you see how confident he was when he said that, too?
With passion.
Like, he's been waiting. He's been waiting for the next, sports.
Here's my opportunity.
This is my opportunity to show people I don't know absolutely nothing about sports.
Yeah. All right, let me redeem
black,
myself.
Gold. Niners!
Let me see if I can redeem myself. Ask me a sports question. Let me see if I know.
Okay, you have to do this.
No, let's do this. I'm just. You sure you want this?
I don't know. If this is a good idea.
No,
Sal.
Don't ask me statistics.
I'll ask you a simple one.
I'm your friend. I don't.
Who
know
do you think is
going
to be in the Super Bowl this year?
No, I don't watch sports. Ask me a question about how to play the sport, a rule, or something like that.
Oh, like a rule?
Yeah.
Well,
that's kind of.
Yeah, that's weird. Why? What do you mean?
If how many feet need to be inside the end zone if I catch a touchdown pass?
One.
No, see, that's wrong.
Yeah. It is?
Yeah, both feet have to be inside.
Even in college now, huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
You let me finish my statement. You let me finish
so
my statement.
So far, 0-2. Okay, let's keep going. Let's play this game.
Let's play this till you
if
score.
If you have one leg,
okay.
One.
If you have one leg, that is right. You're right.
Boom. Yeah. Thank God I got that one.
So
right.
With that being said, how many one-legged wide receivers are in the NFL
right now? Hey, man. I'm a positive thinker. Anything can happen.
What
they call them old peg leg.
So hoppy peg leg. What are you guys doing for Christmas?
I'm hanging around. I'm doing family stuff, traditional stuff with my girl.
What do you want for Christmas besides me?
With a nice big red bow on my
my meat hawk.
Boom. Open it slowly.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you pulled the wrong one. You're just tightening the bow.
Is that a box or is that your scrotum?
God.
Hey, one of the best ever. You know what? I used to hate Justin Timberlake until he did Dick in a Box. On
right? Best sketch ever.
Changed my whole attitude towards him. After that,
you're right. That was the moment where I'm like, all right, I think I'm okay with this guy.
Have you guys tried that yet? Have you tried Dick in the Box?
No.
Have you cut a hole in the box and put your dick in it?
No.
You haven't?
No.
Really?
No.
No, but you know, I did that with popcorn. I think I might have revealed
it's
that
a popcorn
before,
one?
Right?
Yeah, for real?
It's a trick.
You put your dick in the popcorn?
Of course. Who hasn't?
Gets all buttery.
Oh, gross.
Well, it's worth it.
Wife's eating the popcorn. She's like, this one's popcorn.
Sometimes
way
you gotta
too
be
salty.
Discreet.
This is supposed to be one of our good episodes where we actually give good information. We just lost half
Why?
Of our listeners. All those
Why?
Listeners.
Why do we always have to put parameters on our way of thinking?
So tell me
Somebody
what you
has
want.
To keep us focused
I
want to
hear what you want for Christmas.
Fly, baby.
I want to hear what you're going to get and what you want for Christmas.
Like really want or what did we put on a realistic list? Because that's two different things to me.
Okay. Well,
I want a choo-choo train.
No, I don't mean like world peace or something like not realistic. I mean, so here's what I mean. Okay, so my girl's family, or the tradition in their family is we all put everyone's names, all the cousins, uncles, brothers, sisters, whatever, moms, dads, we put them in a bowl, we draw names, and you have one person you buy for. And it's a $200 limit. So you buy one person, like either one really nice gift or a bunch of like, mediocre gifts, whatever. Now, I don't know about you guys. I know that for sure because Justin just shared while we were in the restroom together what he wants to buy himself. I know your guitar is a lot more than $200. So I would not put a guitar, and we all give our list, right? When we all draw names, everyone gives their list of stuff. So I've made a list already.
It'll benefit everybody.
But none of my things on my list are over $200. But in reality, if I was going to go buy myself something for Christmas like I really want, it would be probably a lot more than $200. So that's why I asked you,
are you going to get for Christmas? How about that? Like, what do you want that you'll probably get?
I don't have anything like that.
Really? Well, I'm a grown-ass man, and so I usually just buy my own
That's
things.
Me too.
Okay, so what are you going to buy yourself? Are you going to buy yourselves anything for Christmas?
This
yeah,
is actually
guitar.
This is,
are so you you're getting a guitar?
Yeah,
electric.
Man. Yeah, electric. Acoustic? That's the thing because I already have the acoustic. It's terrible. I am going through withdrawals with not having an electric guitar.
Really? Because I was going to buy you a mariachi one.
Oh,
the big
be
one.
Actually pretty tight, yeah.
Because we totally use that. Oh, you know what I did get actually.
Whoa.
This is a good reminder. I think I sent it over to Doug. Doug, I think you got. Did you get the family that we adopted?
Oh yeah,
let's do that this week.
All right,
so
we'll buy them some stuff.
Well, what we'll do is we'll contact them. Maybe we'll delegate that to Doug because he has this softer voice. I don't want to scare the lady over. Plus, if anyone can speak any other extra languages, it's probably Doug. We just got to make contact with the family so they know that we're going to take care of them, and then find out. We need to find out if they need food or a tree. Cause normally, they do. And then we'll go over and then
hook it up.
Yeah, maybe after we record on Thursday,
give them a bunch of free Mind Pump T-shirts like dicks. Merry Christmas. Here's some promo info.
The sad part is, actually, they would probably be super grateful.
You know what sucks is that I said a joke and you made me feel bad for
it. Yeah. You know.
That's what sucks about this whole thing. So you're not going
to
buy yourself
it's
anything?
It's going to feel really good to help them out.
So my goal this year, and I made it through my birthday, although my girl says I failed because I bought myself a pair of really nice shoes. But that doesn't count because shoes I buy all the time. But every year on my birthday and Christmas, which is November, December, right? I tend to buy myself really nice gifts, really nice gifts. Like I think the smallest gift I bought was like a whole computer, like, set up for my desk and office area, right?
The porn station.
Yeah, like the super porn station.
Whoa.
Then, it's been a watch 1 year. It's been a Camaro
Turbo.
1 year, so it's been different, all kinds of stuff. This is the year I told myself I'm not going to spend any money on myself.
You're just going to spend it on me? You know what? That's nice of you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
He just tries to make us feel bad constantly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you're not getting yourself
I'm getting myself a guitar.
Because I have spent the last 34 years of my life very selfishly. So this year, and I always do the adopt a family thing. I'm saying I'm selfish. I still do nice things like that. But every year I always do buy something really big and nice and expensive for myself. I'm not going to do that this year. Mm-hmm. This year, anything I do, it'll be giving and doing something like that. And then I'm trying to put myself the new... the older Adam is trying to put himself on a tighter budget, regardless if I need one or not. I believe that I need that just for responsibility reasons. I've been too irresponsible for too long of my life that I feel like I need to tighten the reins up. And part of that, I think a good start would be the ginormous purchases at the end of the year. That would save a good 20-40 grand right there.
It sounds like it sounds like you're giving the world a gift for Christmas, and that's Adam's personal growth.
Ooh.
That's very nice. Wow. Thank you for that.
That's
one.
A nice little jingle to it. You know what else I hear?
What?
I'm growing.
Wait, shh.
You hear that?
What is that?
I hear it.
Quack, quack. Quack, quack. Quack, quack.
Sounds a little different than normal.
Yeah. Did you shoot that bird? What's going on with that bird over there?
That bird had something in its throat.
What's Doug doing over there?
He needs to gargle a little bit before
it is. It's quaw. It's motherfucking
quaw time.
It's motherfucking quaw time.
Bitches. 1, 2, 3, quaw.
Quaw. Motherfucking quaw. Get your quaw on.
If you ain't quawing, you ain't doing nothing.
You ain't doing shit with your life. Get on your quaw. Right. Get the fuck
get
out of here.
Get that quaw.
All right, guys. All right, calm down.
All right, guys.
Calm down. Quaw, quaw. Sorry.
Quiet up now, quaw.
Okay. All right.
Any last call for quaws here?
No, we just want to see
quaw.
Quasimodo.
All right, go.
Okay. We got Emily K. Ham. She is asking about people who sip BCAAs in water throughout the day.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
Stupid.
Sounds delicious.
Sounds delicious.
This is common in fitness. Something is good or has some benefit. Let's do it all the time and take a whole shitload of it. It's going to be that much better.
Yeah.
Always have to do it.
Wrong answer. Okay, so here's what happens when you take too many branched chain amino acids. You actually reduce your brain's ability to produce certain neurotransmitters like dopamine and serotonin. Theoretically, too many branched chain amino acids can cause depression.
That depression, I was going to say, if you're not
correct.
Releasing that. Yeah.
So no, not a good idea. The time you take branched chain amino acids is before, during, and after your workout. Hmm. Take about maybe 2 grams each time. You don't need to take, I see some of these supplement companies like, fortified with 15 grams of branched amino acids. Whoa.
Good.
What's the science on it actually even being that beneficial, being the fact that it'd be sitting in water for hours too?
That's a great question. I don't know. I don't think you should leave any of these powders that you mix in water. I don't think you should leave them in that long no matter what, because they start to, they might even start to degrade and change. I know creatine will. Creatine can actually turn into creatinine if you leave it in water too long.
Well, I read an article a long time ago, and so maybe you'll have some.
I read once.
One time I read.
It was this article. I had words.
This is what sucks too. People always ask us, right? People always want to know, where do you guys get all your
information? Some pictures too.
Where do you get all your information from, and can you do this? It's like, fuck, dude. Are you kidding me? I wish I was that organized where every time I read a fucking study, I bookmarked it somewhere so I could hand it to you. So all the time we say, where I read somewhere. Once upon a time, there was this article on, I believe it was either Smart Water or one of those waters that are, get the vitamins and minerals and everything in it, and they say it's got all this great stuff. And the debate was that once it gets put in the water like that, and then it has to go through your digestive system, you don't even get any of the benefits from it. So I'm curious to if this is similar to that. That when you dump these branched chain amino acids in a pool of water for hours,
they might oxidize. I mean, they might change. I don't know.
Why wouldn't they oxidize if they're?
I mean, apparently, if you leave them in long enough, I don't know if it'll happen in 5 hours, but I don't know. I don't know what the science is behind that, but I do know that taking branched chain amino acids all day long to try and give you some kind of anabolic effect is not going to give you an anabolic effect, and it can have detriment. Look. Branched chain amino acids are essential. There's a whole. I don't know how many is. How many amino acids are essential? 12, something like that. Meaning that you have to get them in food because your body can't make them. That's why they're called essential amino acids. But you can have too much of a good thing. You can have too much of anything. Take too much of any amino acid, and you can cause changes in neurotransmitters in the brain. You can cause your body to utilize less of other amino acids. Block the production of certain things. You can cause gastrointestinal distress, inflammation. So no, taking branched amino acids throughout the entire day is like taking protein throughout the entire day. It's that same mentality that if some is good, then more is better. And if taking it now is good, then taking it all the time is better. That's not true at all. So no, I would not recommend you take branched amino acids all day long.
Our next question is from SuperSack80.
Mm.
He's asking about the benefits of desiccated liver.
That's an old school supplement. You guys are, do you guys ever read about
I don't even know anything about this.
That went right over my head.
So desiccated liver tablets. Bodybuilders.
Sounds delicious, though.
sounds scrumptious.
Yeah. Desiccated liver tablets. Bodybuilders back in the day used to swear by these. And I'm talking about way back in the day, in the 30s, 40s, 50s.
Oh, Doug's time.
It kind of fell out of time.
Right. Doug, you got something to contribute?
Poor Doug. Poor remember? Doug.
Lima beans and desiccated liver.
Oh, shucks, golly. You know, back then, they would recommend taking, you know, 30, 40 of these tablets a day.
What?
Yes. This was the supplement. This was the supplement.
It sounds like it would decimate your liver is what it sounds like.
No, this is what they are. It's liver from a cow. So it's usually bovine liver. And they defat it, and then they turn it into tablets. So you're basically just taking powdered liver in tablet form. What's beneficial about them, it's got, obviously,
Tons of iron.
It's high in iron. Right. And it's got very absorbable and usable forms of B12. So back in those days, before these guys were taking, you know, other supplements, they probably did see some benefit from them. There's a lot of benefit from eating liver.
Mm-hmm.
And the benefit comes from the cholesterol that's in the liver and some of the nutrients that are in the liver. I would say this. If you want to get some benefits of liver, eat it. Yeah. Like, just fucking eat it, man.
Yeah.
It's not that gross.
Get in there.
Have you guys eaten liver recently?
No. Nope. Ever.
It's, in a while.
It's good.
I'd have to like deep fry it or do something crazy.
Doug, that you gave us? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Doug bought, what did you buy?
I went to the farmer's market and I said, I want to get some liver. And he says, how much do you want? And I said, well, I'll just take a cow's liver, you know? So he brings it back the next week, 13 pounds.
Not realizing.
Just a cow.
Yeah.
So he cut it up. Doug cut it up into, like, you know,
next time I'll have a rabbit.
60 packages in my food saver.
Are you out? Did you eat them already?
Oh, no. I got a bunch if you want some.
Do you still eat some?
Yeah, every now and then.
Do you notice anything when you eat liver? Did you notice anything?
I just become incredibly anabolic.
Yeah. You
No. I do. No, I think there's definitely benefit from it.
Yeah. Organ meats in general, it's just we're missing. We're missing that with organ meats. You know, nobody eats those
anymore.
Yeah,
we don't eat that anymore. Yeah, no. It's not something you're going to see.
And organ meats are high in nutrients. Yeah. Very, very high in nutrients. So I would say eat some fucking liver.
There you go.
Be caveman. We are a real caveman.
Yeah. It's delicious. Mitchell Cochran, do you think you'll eventually have your fitness paradigm shattered once again?
Can we see Mitchell Cochran again? I just love that.
I think it sounds better, right? Yes. Probably. I don't know, though. We're pretty fucking smart nowadays. But I'm sure we thought we were pretty smart like 7-8 years ago, too, when it's been shattered multiple times.
We kind of know everything, right? Like, we know it everything.
Well, okay. I like this question, though. I like this because this will challenge us to think on some of the things where... Here's the thing, Mitch.
We're open to it. I mean, let's be honest about
that. I think that's the problem is that we embrace it so much now. We search for our paradigm to be shattered. Like, right. I want to be wrong I want to be wrong about something.
Right. You know? In order for a paradigm to truly be shattered, that means that you have a belief that you 100% believe in and something comes across that destroys that belief and it's evidence-based. If you're constantly searching for new information, it's hard to have your paradigm shattered because your paradigm is... that you're constantly searching
right now we talk about how we talk about right now when we talk about new science or things that we believe in, we still are very even open-minded about how we talk about it, that hey, you know, this is like, for example, let's take fasting is something that
fasting was a paradigm shatter for me.
Yes, yeah. That was a paradigm shatter for all of us, and so it's also why we're a huge advocate now. If there was something else that came out, maybe some way of dieting or eating or food manipulating or something that actually caused as many benefits or more than fasting, it wouldn't shatter my paradigm because I'm open to seeing that, or I hope that happens. And I would never say that. I would never say fasting is the answer and the best way for these benefits.
Like, pizza is actually awesome for you. I'd be like, yeah,
I've been waiting.
Finally,
I've been waiting for this science.
Well, no, thank God.
I think we haven't. The thing is, we haven't really developed. It's not like we're so set in our belief system. You know, we're so open to learning new things. Here's something that I think is going to shatter a lot of fucking people's paradigms, and I'm very open to it. I'm looking at some science right now, and that's this. It's not going to shatter my paradigm either because I've been going down this route anyway. But I think they're going to start discovering that very high protein intake is got some detriments, and I'm talking about you know, the really high protein intake, 1.5, 2 grams, 3 grams per pound of body weight, I think they're going to start finding that it's tied to cancer. Do not take my word for this if you're listening right now. I'm connecting the dots here.
I'm speculating.
I'm connecting the dots because high protein intake does stimulate certain things in the body that also tend to, be precursors to cancer.
God, that is going to be such a hard thing. It's so far away from us finding out, because here's what the problem that I foresee with that is, we know, okay, and I've talked about this before, 100%. All the clients across the board that I've trained in my life, if you are just an average Joe or Jane that's coming in the gym that's never really trained before, never really followed a diet before, and I'm assessing how you eat, all of those people underate protein. Then on the other side of the spectrum, my peers in the professional bodybuilding world and competing and women's, all this stuff like that.
And gym rats and all that shit.
Yeah, all your hardcore gym goers. Because they've been pounded so hard from supplement companies for so long on the importance of eating protein. Now we're on the other extreme with them. So if tests come out and start showing that these, you know, obscene numbers of protein have cancerous traits or have more adverse effects than they do have positive, or we start seeing this stuff come out, it would have to be a very good study that also separates all these meatheads too that are abusing steroids and PEDs and doing other things along with that that I would want to see too. Because if you took the average person, the very few average people are eating 3 to 4 grams of protein or pound or grams of protein. Most people have a very hard time eating. Very only bodybuilders do you ever see go get a grocery cart full of meat. Mm-hmm. The average, you'll never see a 130-pound mom, soccer mom who doesn't go to the gym, pushing a cart with 40 pounds of chicken breast.
Well,
you'll see that with a fucking bodybuilder or competitor.
And it just makes sense. Like, if you can't do it naturally, in other words, if you can't get it from food, then you probably shouldn't do it. You know, because there was, I don't remember who it was. It was actually a well-known fitness individual, fitness celebrity, who I actually respect for the most part. But he recommended this girl who was a 150-pound girl, I think. She had to take 5 servings of protein powder a day to get the protein requirements that he said that she needs. Because he's like, oh, you need to eat 200-something grams of protein a day, so therefore you should take 5 fucking servings of protein powder a day. If you can't get it from food and you have to rely on all these protein powders to get it, then it's probably likely that it's not good for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's where I think that the big paradigm shattering is going to come from, is where they're going to come out and say, these crazy recommendations for protein, way too much.
You know, that's a really good point that you bring up right there. And I guess I kind of skate around this because I feel like you're on one extreme on the what's needed and stay on the very lower end. And I probably flirt with the higher end. And by flirt, I'm talking like 1.5 grams of protein. Have I ever done two?
You're half of your peers.
Yeah.
You're still on the, you know.
And I really don't even do that. I target 1-to-1. Mm-hmm. I look at my body weight. I say, this is, it's easy math for me. It's simple to focus on. And I try and get 100% of it all naturally. And the way I look at it is, if I'm going for a 1-to-1 and I fall a little short because I don't go run up and scoop a fucking whey protein and drink whey. I just don't worry about it. Cause then there'll be another day where I came off maybe a fast and I'm loading or I'm shooting my calories up and I got to eat 3 burgers in that day or something. And I get, you know, way more protein than I normally would because that's my food choice. Or I had a huge ginormous steak for dinner or something crazy like that. Then I'm not worried that I go 1.75 to 2 grams on that one day cause I was lower on another day. But my goal is always to eat it naturally. And if you find yourself having to intake a bunch of powder and stuff to get it there, something's not right. And you know, that's such a great indicator for a lot of things. I think back to all my coaching when I have ladies that I'm showing, trying to get their eating habits right. And, you know, giving them, you know, 2 or 3 chicken breasts in an entire day is really hard for.
And look, to be honest with you, a lot of people can't even hit 1 gram per pound of body weight because it fucks their stomach up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, I can't shit. I get that. I've had people say that. Like, I try to
constipated.
Eat that. Yeah, I try to eat that 1 gram per pound, which is not the crazy amounts that the supplement company is recommending, but that's still high. Like, a lot of people can't do that and have healthy guts. And let me tell you something. You need to have a healthy gut. And if you get an extra 2% increase in performance from smashing out a shit ton of protein, but you're constipated and you have inflammation in your gut, you're not better off.
Well, a healthy gut, you know, it's a diversity of nutrients. You know, that's what's going to promote the healthiest environment. So
absolutely,
you know, and you're overloading it with 1 or 2 things,
you're just not going to have a good result from it.
Right. And that's what I think a big paradigm shattering.
I wonder if there could be, I'm trying to think, what are we not utilize the most, or maybe we don't talk about the most. Like, I'm thinking like,
What's another one? I think I'm glad you said that. I bet you the three of us at some point get into some type of functional flexibility type training. Mm-hmm. And I bet you that'll shatter our paradigm, because the three of us, we are horrible at it.
Yeah.
And that's something we're totally
I'm better.
You're yes. better, but we're not.
But not on that
no,
level. No,
not exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? That's actually. Yeah, and what benefits it could show for overall physique.
I bet we end up preaching the shit out of it.
Well, not only strength, that, right? just how, yeah, it's going to complement your gains. Like, it's how it's going to promote, you know, muscle development. And then, you know, adding that proper movement mechanic element piece to muscular development, you know, as far as longevity is concerned, now everything is moving properly. You know, you're not going to have those pains. And, you know, when you get to a certain size, I mean, anybody knows that's trying to build muscle. You're going to get to a certain size where you feel restricted.
Oh, yeah.
You feel restricted. You feel immobile. You feel like, yeah, I'm awesome, but like I'm not functional anymore. You know, I've lost it.
The minute I'm over 215, so this last 6 months of my life of carrying my, because I've been carrying myself in the 220s to 220 all the way up to 230, it's crazy. And Katrina always gives me a hard time because I'm constantly, you know, whining to her. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, I can't believe I can't do this. Like, I couldn't believe I couldn't do a pistol squat the other day when I told you that. That just blew my mind. Like, I used to fuck around on a Bosu ball, balancing on one leg and fucking around with dumbbells and stuff, doing single leg pistol squats on there just because we could. And for me to not be able to...
Because he's doing ballerina training.
Yeah, because I was. Because that used to be the cool thing to do.
I was right there with you, too.
I was gonna say, what are you talking about, motherfucker? I believe you were with me that day we were doing that shit.
I was. See, I totally was. See, I never did that.
I jumped in it.
Never.
Oh, you're so cool.
You didn't, no, it's, you didn't get any crazy with the functional stuff?
I lifted all day.
Really?
Bro.
You never really got into that? Yeah.
No, because...
Especially with your jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. No. I would think that some at one point. No?
No ball training.
I'm not very coordinated for that shit.
I see. I could see that now. Yep. I could understand why you went, because you probably weren't very good at it. I was good at all that stuff.
Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I'm
good at a few things. Deadlifts.
Did you ever get to the point where you're standing on the ball and then doing squats on top of it like an idiot?
I could do that. I never squatted on the ball. I always like doing
I've sat on my balls.
All the balls and all the limbs and doing push-ups and balancing on one leg and doing crazy stuff like that. Yeah, this is, that would shatter our paradigm if we found out that actually builds a lot more muscle than and is superior to squat.
Or they come out with a study, CrossFit, the safest form of exercise. My paradigm will explode.
It's the safest gardening, everybody. shattered my paradigm.
My paradigm will explode.
You know, that information right there alone.
Yeah,
that was close to shattering me.
I think though it is right. It's almost impossible now to shatter the paradigm, because I think it's happened to us so much that now we have this attitude like, hey, whenever we talk about any topic, maybe one of us even feels strong about something, the other two will always be like, well, hold on, bro. Yeah. You know,
you might
think
not
about
have
this.
Considered it from this angle.
Yeah, think from this or also this, and there's a possibility this could happen or it could evolve to that. And yeah, we always backpedal on that part, that I don't think any of us are like, take a stance on like, this is, and the things that we would take a stance on like that, I believe, like for example, saying something like a squat is by far the one single best movement you could possibly do. That's a fucking fact.
Yeah.
It's not going to get out.
It's not going to get changed.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not anything new happening with kinesiology as far as the study, you know, as far as movement goes for us, and we're not changing any patterns like that. So that, I mean, things like that, that's not going to go away. Stuff related to nutrition. I think, God, it's not going to, our paradigm's going to be shattered because we're still learning so much.
Yeah.
Like, Sal loves to talk about the gut floor. Like, I didn't even know about the gut floor until I met Sal. I never even addressed that or even considered
Thank
talking about
God
it.
For your IBS, bro. Yeah. You know what I mean? We would have never known.
So, you know, things like that are, you know what I'm into right now? And I try to get Sal, or he sent a text message this weekend to us that, hey, I'm bored. You guys got something for me to nerd out on? I said, hey, you know, I'm actually getting into reading up on fascia. There's a lot of stuff that we don't know about the fascia that is still like that. It's still evolving, and we're learning about it. I find that very fascinating to me because we don't really talk about it. And there's
some contradictory stuff out there as far as like foam rolling goes, and all that kind of stuff has me very interested. I'm looking into so that's something that I really want to dive into personally. Maybe we can bring that up again in the show at some point. But you know, there's confliction there in theories.
Well, why don't we agree on that right now? We'll do that on radio right now, since I try to get the nerd over here to start. I've already been on it and reading, so I already have some stuff.
Me too. But
so I think it'll be cool, and then maybe we'll
get deep with it in its own segment.
This is Adam trying to close me on reading about it. So why don't we talk about this on air and put you on? All right. Yeah, no, I'm interested.
Yeah, well, yeah. You weren't very interested. He was like, okay, that doesn't sound very interesting. But I can't remember what intrigued me to start.
It's probably a chiropractor. You went to go
it might have been. It might have been. I don't remember what it was, but I was, you know, I'm like, you know what? I want to read more on it.
Yeah. One of my friends kind of turned me on to the new way of thinking. So.
Well, and there's a lot of guys, okay? So, and let's, you know, I'm going to use this opportunity to talk shit about somebody else. I believe there's somebody who has a program that he's called fascia training or something like that. And then
he just shit on you, boom.
And this is just like what happens always, and this is also why, this is why I think I actually, because I was watching some of these videos of this training.
Oh yeah,
you remember? You know now you know what it is, right? Okay, so, and this is what everyone does. Everyone, there's a little bit of science that comes out on something. We find out something very important about fascia, and then somebody decides they're going to write a whole program around it, and that's going to be the spin. And that's very smart business and marketing. Right. And honestly, if one day Mind Pump doesn't make a lot of money, we might have to do that to you guys. We might have to just start selling as much.
Never.
No, but the point is, that's so easy.
Mindpumpradio.com.
It's so easy to write.
It's so easy to buy our program.
It's so bad, right?
We have one big yellow button.
So click now. So the programs that these guys write, that's what they do. They find something that's new. Yeah. They take a spin on it and they write a whole program around it. Like it's this new found, like the best ever. Right. And it's not, there's nothing special, that special about it. That's going to be that groundbreaking, that it's going to, you know, surpass your traditional training. Like we're talking about with squatting and deadlifting and compound movements. But is there something to learn about it and maybe incorporate into training and to further edge? Absolutely.
You know what? I think, and I'm not trying to do a shameless plug here, but I think MAPS, I know MAPS has shattered a lot of people's paradigms.
Well,
how many people have messaged us and said, holy fuck, I changed my training completely based upon this program. Mm-hmm. And you know, before and afters.
Yeah, and
they're showing us these crazy before and afters.
Yeah, and you're seeing like concepts that, you know, are applied in MAPS. Like you're starting to see that from other professionals in the industry,
right?
And they're highlighting like one or two things that are like part of the program. So people and other people are noticing this. So
one of the things that I was most fascinated with MAPS when you first showed it to me and you shared your program and like, this is what we're going to launch, what you're going to do, and I remember sharing it with Justin and being like, bro, check out what Sal's doing. And, you know, both of us right away were like, oh, this is money. This is what the industry needs. People need to see this because it's gone so the opposite direction as far as how we should train the body. But to be honest, the part that I was most intrigued and where I felt we all saw eye to eye so much and what I think why, where, and here's my shameless plug, why MAPS fucking smokes every program there is because we don't talk about it as the best program.
No.
Because it's open to evolution. Mm-hmm. And we highly recommend that it evolves and it changes and it moves. Right. And
you can apply it in different ways.
Exactly. Which... And I think...
No, here's the thing. Programs, most programs are routines. They're not programs. They're routines. Follow my routine. Here's the workouts. I mean, here's the exercises in order.
Here's what did it for me.
Right.
Try it out. If it doesn't work, you know, tough shit.
MAPS has a program in it, so you can follow specifics, but it's a concept. It's a philosophy. It's an understanding of how the body adapts, how muscles grow, and you apply these concepts, and then you modify them because everybody's body's a little different. And boom, results. People get phenomenal results. People who've been training for years get great results. Which is very hard to do. It's very hard to take someone who's been working out for 5 years, have them do a program, and then get great results. Because their bodies, many times, they feel tapped out.
Yeah.
Right.
So, next question.
That was a really long answer to Mr. Cockring.
No, thanks, Mitchell. Yeah. He's our boy.
Raging Wheezy Gains 88, asking about some great kettlebell movements that can help with strength and conditioning.
Well, this sounds like a question for Super Justin.
The one and only the dude. I'll take it from here.
Cool, 'cause I'm gonna go get
I love kettlebells, dude.
I'm gonna get a sandwich real quick.
Yeah. You guys go ahead and tune out. Yeah, no, one of my favorite, if we're talking about strength, I love the Turkish getup, mainly because of the movement of it, because it's so involved with stabilizing the shoulder joint, with understanding proprioceptively where you are as far as, you know, if my left arm is over embracing while my hips are extending and then I'm moving back. You really have to understand the mechanics of how your body works in order to perform it correctly. And it's like 7-8, you know, steps. It's one of the most complex exercises there is. And it's very much one of the staple things that I feel determines whether or not you have a good enough understanding of how to move properly and how to use your body in space. So that's one of them. It's great. It's great to, as far as like stabilizing the shoulder as well, holding the weight over your head. Kettlebells can be used in all kinds of different ways. I mean, as far as conditioning goes, obviously the kettlebell swing, it's bar none if you're doing it correctly. Okay.
How do a lot of people do those wrong?
So
turn into a squat swing.
Right. So one common thing is to squat. So drop the hips down instead of actually hinging the hips, right?
So it's a hip hinging movement.
It's explosive. Okay. So really what we're trying to do is get a power element out of it. And that's all driving from the hips. And that's something that, you know, the arms really aren't very active in this lift. However, you know, they're stabilizing the weight and movement. And the other thing is you really have to have control and brace your core. So that way anything you're moving at an accelerated pace, if you do it wrong, it could have detrimental effects on your back, you know, on your joints, all these things. So anyway, it if done properly, it gives you great conditioning effect.
Yeah, because I've done them in the past and it makes you breathe hard.
Yeah, and you notice it like mainly when you're done. When you're done, you're just gassed. Mm-hmm. You're gassed out. I find it, you know, it's on similar sort of par with sled sprints or something like that, where you're pressing real hard, and you know, right when you stop, it's like this rush of you know, I'm gassed, I'm exhausted. So it's really involved. Like everything is involved in that lift, and that's why I like it so much. So I'll do that with one, I'll do it with two kettlebells, you know, double swings. You know, I'll do a nice rotational shoulder press with the kettlebells. Perfect for that.
I've been incorporating those since you, you know, when we worked out together, you had us do some of them. Mm-hmm. And I've been incorporating them, and I'm stronger in my traditional barbell shoulder press now.
That's amazing. I've been using that. That's great. Yeah. It's good to add that diversity, right? And that's one of the only lifts that really exposes mechanically, you know, how to rotate properly with, you know, your arm and your elbow and your shoulder, like in unison. And to be able to stabilize that properly, and the loading of the weight itself is different too. So this is just another stimulus that you're providing that's great for the muscle to respond to. And then in that neutral grip, you know, with how you hold it is always good for the wrist. And then also carrying kettlebells. This is another thing that you can really posturally help to correct issues. Like
get a kettlebell,
retracting your shoulders, for instance, depressing the shoulders, especially. Right.
So like if I hold a kettlebell like one arm up on my,
you could rack it, or you could also hold it at your side,
and then just walk like a suitcase carry.
Exactly.
And then walk.
It's super functional because, I mean, you could easily see how that would apply to daily life or traveling, or, you know, just carrying, you know, groceries or a bag or anything like that, right?
I've been incorporating some of these, dudes since meeting you, and I can vouch that these movements, not only are they missing from most people's routines, but they're missing, they should be in most people's routines.
Absolutely.
I'm finding that they're just as important as some of the big gross motor movement exercises.
Well, I've been lucky enough.
They complement them very well. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I've been around long enough with them that I utilize them nowhere near like Justin does. And I'll tell you the reason why I don't is only because I don't feel like I've been taught properly.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have Justin or someone at his level or higher, you know, make sure he takes me through all. There's a lot of great movements. Like, for example, I don't even teach to clients, although I think it's a phenomenal move, the Turkish get-up. I think it's one of the best movements that you would do for an exercise. It's just a functional movement, getting up off the ground like that and teaching you how to properly do that while you're, you know, suspending a kettlebell over your head, I think is so awesome. And there's a lot of movements. I stick to stuff that's more basic, just like we did with the dumbbells, with the shoulder press, or, you know, raises with them, or carry type movements. You know, or I'll even do a kettlebell swing and work on hip movements. But for the most part, I don't do a lot of them because I'd like to be taught. You know, it's and I see a lot of people that do them poorly.
Absolutely.
And it's like, dude, you're defeating the whole real purpose of using a kettlebell if you're not teaching yourself how to do it properly. Because it's very, to me, I look at kettlebells kind of like a lot of Olympic movements.
Mm-hmm.
I think Olympic lifts are fucking awesome, you know, and there's a lot of great. Well,
Olympic lifts are way more technical, though.
Yeah, it's purposeful. Yeah. And I think that people, they don't really approach it with that, you know, that frame of mind. Like, they just want to do an exercise and get a nice workout. Whereas I feel like, it's probably not going to benefit you if you don't give it the proper respect as far as things, because even just the loading of it is different.
It's way more. I think this is why I say it's like limb lifting. I think if you are looking to do kettlebells, you want to be somebody who takes pride in their form and technique.
Mm-hmm.
That's the next level. Let's say you're somebody who does your basic, you know, all your basic movements. You've got great form, and you even want to improve and even take that to the next level.
Yes,
kettlebells will take
start
you that
adding more rotational movements. Yes. You know, getting the wrists and the elbows and the shoulder.
But you must take pride in that. You must take
more
pride
transverse plane, you know, movement.
Well, here's the issue that I see. The issue is, if you're smart and you focus on form, you'll be okay. Here's the issue is programming.
Mm-hmm.
Do they know how to insert kettlebells into the workouts, and where do they insert them, and how do they utilize them with their traditional exercises?
Right.
That becomes the issue that I see people having. So if you're smart and you know how to program, then you can incorporate kettlebells into your regular routines and get fucking phenomenal.
Well, this is how I use it. That's what I do. Is I incorporate it into my routine. Right. It's not like, and that's.
But you have to do it right. You can't just put them in any workout. You have to be able to incorporate them in a particular way.
Yes.
So that's interesting that you said that it benefited your barbell overhead press, because that's exactly what I noticed. You know, once I started, you know, doing more. Shoulder press with the kettlebell and getting rotation, it just benefits the whole, because now you're filling a void that otherwise you're not really getting that sort of stimulus, and that does help. You know, you're going to be able to recruit that into your gross movement.
Well,
two
things, because overhead press is one of my weaker exercises, mainly because I have shoulder issues. But even before that, I wasn't like that wasn't my strongest lift. But I've noticed now that my strength is really going up because of the kettlebells. Two things I'm doing. One is I'll substitute a barbell press for a single arm kettlebell press.
Uh-huh.
Two is I'll do static holds. So I'll take a heavy kettlebell, I'll press it, something that's heavy.
Right.
So for me, a heavy kettlebell overhead press will be like 75 pounds, a heavy kettlebell for me to press. I'll press it up above my head. It'll be a hard press, but then I'll just hold it in that tight, strong position. I'll count to 15, I'll bring it down, and then I'll switch arms.
I mean, and that's another way that you could walk. You know,
hold it
above your head. Yeah, you're gonna get a nice overhead. It's the same thing that really the benefit of your Turkish get-ups, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just being able to stabilize weight over your head.
Hey man, put it together with some awesome programming, you have an awesome.
That's
routine.
It, man. It'd be awesome.
What's next?
Craig Phelps is asking, what do you recommend when you feel like you're spinning your wheels and you're not progressing?
If this is. Taking that your nutrition's good. Okay, so let's assume your nutrition's good, because that's one thing that's a whole other topic. But if you're eating right and you're not progressing, look at your workout and start changing variables. So reduce intensity, increase frequency, increase volume,
tempo,
decrease volume, change the tempo, focus on a different goal. So, you know, if I'm always doing 8 to 12 reps, now I'm doing sets of 2 to 3 reps. Do whole workouts that revolve around one or two exercises. Like, okay, I'm doing 8 sets of squats and 8 sets of bench press, and that's my whole workout today. That might be completely different from what you're normally doing. Maybe avoid all single joint exercises. Mm. You know, there's so many variables. I would say mess with the variables in your workouts. And here's one of the best ones that you could ever do. drop the intensity, increase the frequency. One thing that always seems to work for people to kind of get their body moving again is to not go as hard, but then train everything more often. Yeah, because
typically that's probably what they're not doing
right
at the moment.
Right, right.
I like to do what you guys are about to see me do, and I haven't told anybody I'm going to do this. I'm not going to fully share what I'm going to do either yet, but...
always got secrets.
I know. Yeah, I like to keep it like that. Keep right. you guys... on edge.
What's he gonna do?
Hey, I know it drives Sal crazy. That's why.
Yeah.
Tell me, damn it, tell me. He'll be texting me all night tonight now. What are you gonna do, bro? Tell me. I want to know.
Dude.
What do you? You know, here's something that I like to do. So, and I feel like I'm kind of in that position now. So I went through this whole process of competing and blah 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 blah. And the ultimate goal was to work my way up to my way up to the professional level. I'm there. At this point, I don't really have any more goals related to that. I still like having an aesthetic physique. And of course, I've been labeled as that guy in this, but that's really not how I've always been as a trainer. As I've been as a trainer is I love setting new goals, a whole different goal that's not related to the one you're spinning your wheels about. So maybe you've been grinding it out for a long time, trying to make gains on your biceps or shoulders or whatever it is that you feel like you're not progressing in. And sometimes I'll just, the best thing for my body is actually to switch gears and go like all performance based. Now I'm going to work on my vertical and my speed and agility and my functionality. And I'm going to set new goals for myself to improve my overall. And it's only going to improve your overall physique. Even if your goal is like myself, looking better all the time, making that switch for a little bit to confuse the body, give it new goals, new things for you to focus on. One, I think it's phenomenal for the body and very, very important for longevity. And two, it's great for mental stimulation. It's just nice to not have to be, if you've been grinding it out, which I feel like I've been doing in the bodybuilding thing, and it's just like, God, to get to the next level for my physique or to make it even crazier on stage, it's just like, do I really care that much? And do I want, and I'm like, I'm kind of over it. I've been doing it for the last 2.5, almost 3 years. I've never stuck to a single type of program design for a long time, so I'm actually about to completely flip my shit upside down.
It's and fun too.
Train completely different.
It's fun. You know what I mean? Everybody likes to see progress. Yeah. How about if you just change your goal? Yeah, then you can see progress again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. And it's very motivating. And then you come back and you revisit it again and watch. I bet you money you break through whatever that plateau is. Yeah, it
benefits
is.
You on that end as well.
Right. Exactly.
Beautiful. And with that, please subscribe to Mind Pump. Leave us a 5-star rating and review, or we're going to come find you.
Oh, yeah.
An attack.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.